This show is brought to you by BigAndTallMart.com. BigAndTallMart.com is your number one source for all things big and tall. From licensed t-shirts to casual wear and everything in between, BigAndTallMart.com has you covered. Use promo code GEEK10 on checkout to save 10% on orders $50 or more. BigAndTallMart.com is a proud sponsor of ThisWeekInGeek.net. Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to the Nerd News Network, and well, it's Sunday, September 9th, 2014. It's Sunday. Yes, I know. Unfortunately, the week has just really kind of gotten away from me, and I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Don, for those of you that are just joining us. And normally I would have posted this on Friday, but we had the apocalypse here in Southern Ontario on Friday afternoon and Friday evening. Massive thunderstorms. We had a lot of damage not too far over from me in terms of down trees and everything. I think there was a confirmed tornado or two. Things are pretty quiet around here except for some really interesting light shows involving lightning. So it was probably the smart idea to keep my equipment off. And I would have done this yesterday, but just honestly, time got away from me in a very unexpected way. So I do greatly apologize. So to make up for that, I'm actually going to give you guys a Nerd News editorial this week. And I'm going to be talking about Gamergate. Not in any particularly great detail. Just kind of give you my thoughts. If you want to find out more about it, there's articles on Kotaku. And there's an article that was posted from Twitter I got from Todd in the Shadows that I think really sums it up quite nicely, more so than I ever could. But I did want to still offer my thoughts on this, just because everybody's talking about it. I do consider myself a games journalist and a games reviewer, although I would pigeonhole myself as a game commentator. Because I do find myself commentating more so than I do reporting, but still, being involved in that industry, I probably should say something nonetheless. Also, because it is the beginning of September, that means I will be doing my annual Child's Play Extra Life Charity Marathon on October 25th, and that will be for Toronto Sick Kids Hospital. 100% of all the donations I get go directly to Toronto Sick Kids. You can find out more information on the sidebar, or you can go to birdmangivesback.com. Please help me raise $500 to help out kids know fun and not fear while they await treatment in this world-class facility. So, with that out of the way, what are we going to be talking about today? Well, we're going to be talking about a big frigging dinosaur. We're going to be talking about a lawsuit involving aliens. Who's The Rock going to be playing in the new DC movie? And we're going to talk a little bit about The Fappening, which happened late last week, involving leaked nudes from Jennifer Lawrence, Kate Upton, and many others, and how it was kind of the cops' fault. And some new information involving Supernova, which I think is particularly interesting. So let's start this show off kind of right. And we're going to talk about dinosaurs. That's right, with the death of Richard Attenborough a little while ago, people are still talking about Jurassic Park. Pretty sure I got that name right. Yeah, it was him. Either way, John Hammond from Jurassic Park. Feedback at ThisWeekInGeek.net if I somehow screwed that up. Anyway, so they were digging in Argentina, in South Patagonia. I'm pretty sure I screwed that up too. And they found an exceptionally complete specimen of a newly discovered dinosaur they're calling Dreadnoticus scranii. And either way, Dreadnoticus. And that, I think, literally means fears nothing, as far as I understand. So this giant thing, it's kind of like, well, it ain't a meat eater, I'll tell you that much. It's a herbivore. It's a Titosaurin sauropod, described by University of Drexel paleontologist Kenneth Lack, man, I just gotta pick easier names to pronounce. He says in the latest issue of Scientific Reports that this animal was 85 feet long. Its tail was roughly 30 feet of that. Its neck and individual vertebrae of it measure more than 3 feet across, stretched 37 feet in length. There is a picture of this what's called a scrapula, and I don't know what that is, but this thing stands more than 5.5 feet tall. And they put this paleontologist's son beside it for scale. It's taller than he is. So this thing likely weighed about 65 tons in life, which is the biggest animal before, or the biggest animal currently. The previous record was held by something called Elatitan, and it had a weight of about 47 tons. So this thing was astoundingly huge. Now, the cool thing about this thing is this creature was likely still growing at the time. So that's amazing. Now, to give you a frame of reference for this, to talk to you in tons, let me see. They say there's this really cool chart. And it says at moose, which is below a ton, there's an African elephant, which is around 5 tons, a T-Rex at 10, a Diplodocus at 20, a Brachiosaur at 30, this Fukatuka, I don't even know, a Boeing 737 at just under 50 tons, and then this thing at upwards of 65 tons. That is friggin' huge. This thing is like 9 times the weight of a T-Rex, according to this guy, because they measure it in kilograms, so I probably screwed that up once again. Man, I'm just having a day, aren't I? But yeah, so when they discovered the skeleton, they said, like I said, this thing was likely still growing, and they don't know of anything that could have preyed upon a fully grown, healthy Dreadnoticus. I'm just trying to figure out how the hell you would even begin to take on something like this. I mean, even a bunch of T-Rexes would have a hell of a time trying to take this thing down. And it's, I don't know, I kind of like how we are still discovering new dinosaur species all the time. And, when I was a kid, very much wanted to be a paleontologist, more specifically paleobotany, because I like plants. And kind of got that idea from watching Jurassic Park with Dr. Ellie Sattler. And I don't know, I just think it's incredibly cool. Now, they did find, as they said, a nearly complete skeleton. Now, to put that in perspective, they found 45% of it. But since, now, that doesn't sound like a crap ton, but if you infer the existence of bones that are mirrored on the other side of the dinosaur's body, that number's probably closer to 70%. So, that's pretty awesome. Now, looking at a chart of what they found most of its body, like its actual body. They found parts of its neck. They didn't find the skull, though, and they found most of its forelegs, and what looks like they found almost the entire tail. So, like I said, that's pretty impressive. I would love to have actually seen what this thing looked like with my own eyes. It's unfortunate we'll probably never ever get a chance to see that. But this thing would be incredibly powerful. So that's cool. Just a little bit of cool science dropping on you this week. Dreadnoticus. I'm sorry, that just sounds awesome. So moving on to my next story this week. And this one, if you guys remember, Sega and Gearbox put out the wonderfully, sure to be classic title, Aliens Colonial Marines last year, which was, well, suffice to say, a clusterfuck. And I've seen brand new copies of this go for less than $5 in big box retailers recently. So you know this game is selling and is crap. The DLC kind of made up for it, but it completely invalidates Alien 3. I'll leave it. I just got attacked by a Ninja Turtle, so excuse me while I pick that up. There we go. I was just attacked by Razar. So, yeah, good times. I should probably put him on a little place a little bit more stable. Anyway, so there's a lawsuit, and in August, they tried to settle a lawsuit for around $1.25 million for alleged false advertising of the title. and some documents that were gained that were obtained by Game Informer, which kind of show some internal emails between Gearbox and Sega. And it talks about New York Comic Con back in 2012, in which Gearbox CEO Randy Pitchford firmly states the Wii U version of Aliens Colonial Marines would launch in February alongside the other versions of the game. Emails within Sega said no one on the call was aware of the Wii U version, and it's not been picked up so far. Of course, the game missed its Wii U launch, and Sega confirmed in March that it was no longer in development. Other emails that were leaked said, and I quote, this is a direct quote, "Randy's doing whatever the fuck he likes." And he apparently said things twice on Borderlands 2, even though others had told him not to, to reveal information about single player and multiplayer modes. He was also instructed to not reveal Michael Biehn's presence in the game, who, if you don't know, plays Hicks in the movie. So all this came to a head back in, or it was brought up in April of 2013, class action lawsuit saying the game was misrepresented during trade show demos. And we all know that to be true. And emails were actually noted that Sega said the gameplay clips that appeared during E3 previews weren't originally offered to the public. And Sega also said that it had paid Gearbox millions of dollars in advance royalties in the form of milestone payments whenever Gearbox delivered an asset to Sega under the agreement. This ran counterclaims made by Gearbox, in which the developer said it didn't earn any royalties for Aliens Colonial Marines sales from Sega. Oh, man, that's messed up. I mean, I guess shifty business practices are going to happen no matter where you go. And I'm kind of inclined to believe Sega's the ones that truly got screwed here. But the fact that Gearbox farmed this to, I think the company was called Time Shift or something like that to another development house, and they only took up polish towards the end of the cycle. Depressing, because this game should have been awesome. And the fact that Randy Pitchford's out there shooting his mouth off. Now, I've only met the guy like once, so I really can't offer any particular insight into him. So, I don't bloody know what to really make of all this. It's a mess. It's a wonderful, wonderful mess. Moving on to my next piece of story news, and this one's not going to be too long. This one's probably going to be me more just talking about it more so than anything. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the People's Champion, is going to be playing Black Adam in the new Shazam movie. And he announced that out over Twitter out over this past week. Now, no details, including a writer, director, or a release date, but The Rock is going to be playing Black Adam. Now, originally there was talk whether he might actually play Shazam himself, but I kind of like the idea of him playing Black Adam. I just, when I think of Black Adam, I've only ever seen him represented in that Shazam Superman short that was released in the DC animated universe. I've only ever seen that one and him in Injustice, the fighting game. So my knowledge of the character is not too great, but I really do like The Rock's presence. Whether he can play a serious bad guy will be something else entirely. Because the last time he played a bad guy, to my recollection, was in the Doom movie. And that was just all kinds of stupid. But if the DC universe is going for this no jokes and it's very serious, I could see his charisma turned evil. And I don't know, it could be remarkably cool. So I'm kind of hoping that they're going to make this happen. So, The Rock playing Black Adam. What are your guys' thoughts on this? So feedback at thisweekingeek.net. Would love to hear your thoughts. And like I said, question of the week. The Rock is Black Adam. What do you think? Could you have cast someone better? The next story that I want to talk about. As you guys know, there was an incident called The Fappening. And that involves basically bad things happened into which celebrity nudes were leaked. And I picked this story up from Wired, and I thought this was interesting. So they're talking about people that stole, like I said, nudes for Kate Upton, Jennifer Lawrence, Kristen Ritter, and a bunch of other people. I mean, some people have seen them, and it's been called akin to sexual assault. And you know what? They're not wrong. Because you're basically violating a person's privacy. And yeah, it's a slippery slope of being a scumbag, for lack of a better phrase. And they've been posted all over 4chan, although 4chan says they'll go after people that can prove it's theirs. So I don't know. Either way, so this revealed a lot of vulnerabilities in Apple's iCloud. And it actually, it's actually kind of tied to the Find My iPhone thing, which is supposed to help you find stuff. Now, I was reading this this article, and it talks about a piece of software called EPBBM, or Elcom Phone Password Breaker. And it allows you to download data from your iCloud backup. Now, this software is sold by a company based in Moscow called Elcomsoft, and it's intended mostly for government agencies. Now, if you use another password called iBrute, basically you use this thing and this EFPB program, and it lets you download the victim's iPhone as a backup, not just the photos, but everything. That includes text messages, contacts, apps, everything, if it's been backed up to the cloud. And it's just, it's nuts. So once this happened, security people started talking about the iBrute software. And this piece of software was released by a security researcher who I'm presuming is Russian because I can't pronounce his name. And it's designed to take advantage of a flaw in Apple's Find My iPhone feature. And it basically brute forces iCloud passwords, cycling through thousands of possible combinations till it finds it. So what happens, when they use the other program by Elcomsoft, it allows you to impersonate the device, not just the iCloud account. So like I said, you can get access to everything. So hopefully things will get all kind of cleared up with this, but I found it was just interesting to mention this as a whole. And my foot's caught in something. Sorry. I don't know. Just the fact that tools like this exist, and the fact that you can find these on torrent sites. Now the software, surprisingly, is not that expensive. It's about $400. But you can find it for nothing if you look around on torrent sites. Obviously, I do not encourage invading anybody's privacy for anything. Now, there has been, Apple has gone ahead and released a security update for the Find My iPhone exploit. But it's not to say something like this is not going to happen again. And the fact that hackers can get this kind of information from you is kind of terrifying. So ultimately, do what you want with your own devices, whether you do them in the privacy of your own home or whatever. Just understand, by doing so, you take a risk. Obviously, no one should feel that threatened all the time, but this is the world we live in, and that's the unfortunate part. So my last story, to kind of swing things back around to, well, I wouldn't really call it happy, but I'd call it interesting. Talking about supernovas. And there's one type of supernova that explodes from a white dwarf. Usually it's two companion stars, and one star starts to suck up these material from another till it reaches another point of stellar mass, and then boom, it blows up. These are known as a type 1A supernova. So they didn't quite know how this all happened. They had a pretty good idea. But back in January, they discovered what was they call the smoking gun. It was detection of radioactive nuclei being generated by nuclear fusion during the cosmic blast. So what they were doing is they were looking for, and I'm gonna try and find this thing just so I can give it to you right. So what had happened? Theorists proposed that carbon and oxygen found in a white dwarf should be fused into radioactive nickel during a supernova. This nickel should then quickly decay into radioactive cobalt, which then itself would subsequently decay, and on a somewhat larger timescale, into stable iron, and then boom. Type 1A supernovas that explode, obviously, are pretty much responsible for the cosmic sources of iron in the sun, earth, and in our blood. And it's kind of cool because type 1A supernovas are rare, though they do happen frequently. And you might be asking, well, what the hell does that mean? In any one galaxy, they happen every few hundred years. Across the universe, relatively common. But still, just the fact that they kind of figured this out was cool. The fact that they found the signature of cobalt decay in this gamma ray explosion is kind of cool. Just the fact that we now know that these dead stars, because typically white dwarfs, they, like, our sun's going to become a white dwarf. It's going to shed off its, like, outer layers. It's going to become a white dwarf, and it's eventually just going to cool over billions and billions of years. But these ones obviously don't. So I just thought that was interesting enough to bring up. Go read this stuff on Wikipedia, or there's a really awesome series that was put out by, I think, the History Channel, and it's just called The Universe, and it's available on Blu-ray. Highly recommend you check that out if you have any interest in space stuff whatsoever. Okay, boys and girls, so, editorial time. And it's not often I get a chance to just talk editorial stuff with pretty much anybody. And this has a lot of people mad. And I'm going to post a link, like I said, about this. It'll give you a better idea. But in short, I'm going to read you the beginning of Gamergate. I'm just going to read, because the article from, there's another article I'll post from Kotaku that kind of explains it too. The current drama goes back, however directly or indirectly, to an ex-boyfriend in a series of blog posts attacking his ex-girlfriend's character, and then goes to scrutiny and harassment, takes a turn to involve into a possible games journalism sex scandal, maneuvers into vitriol against feminist game critic Anita Sarkinson, takes another turn into be about games ethics, and that goes into some essays and some roundups, how fraught marketing-driven gamer identity is and how it might be dying or dead. And then there are some ways it flows into a thing called Gamergate, which eventually was used as a Twitter tag a day before any end of gamer articles were written. And the whole, how this whole thing started with the whole Zoe Quinn thing and the whole alleged sex scandal, that's between two people, man. Honestly, who gives a shit? I mean, obviously, if anything did funky go down, yes, it should be addressed, but this is two people's personal lives. That aside. And then it turned into this weird attack against Anita Sarkinson, who does some pretty questionable reporting about feminism tropes and all that in gaming. Some of them remarkably true. Remarkably true. And some of them questionable at best. So I'm not calling out her reporting. Maybe she needs someone else to work with her, but some of her points do still stand. And then how that's kind of talked about people in wanting ethics in gaming and how we all should be held to a tighter standard. And that's true. We really should be. And someone else was talking about this, and I wish I could remember who. But games journalism, as far as I understand it, and this is how I got into it, came out of Enthusiast Press. I came from a podcast, this very podcast, This Week in Geek, and then eventually I got drawn into bigger things with, like, Screw Attack and Blistered Thumbs, with Clear Channel, and other various outlets in radio and television over the course of my 7-year career. And things are messed up in games journalism. I'm not saying anybody's in anyone's pockets or, hey, if you give us a good review, we'll do this. But it is true. In PR circles, sometimes they give you something a little cool to get you excited about it. And I, myself, have received several of these things. And I openly tell you when I do a review, hey, I got an inflatable whatever with the release of Darksiders 2 or something. And, you know, and they've never swayed my opinion on a game. The earliest, I might say, I wouldn't say my ethics were compromised. I was very, very, very green. Is when I first ran my review of Transformers for, back in 2007, when the first movie came out, or 2006. Either way, when the first game came out, I was maybe a little kinder to it than I should have been because I didn't know how the industry worked. And a lot of the industry is built upon relationships. And I'm not saying you have to be buddy-buddy with everybody, but you have to be fair and you have to be balanced. And when I review a game, I've kind of come to the conclusion, and anybody that I work with in this capacity too understands, if the game sucks, I'm going to tell you. I will try not to be unnecessarily cruel to it, but if the game sucks, I'm going to let you know. And sometimes when I write back some of my PR contacts, hey, I did coverage for this game. Sorry, I didn't like it. I thought it was funny anyway. I hope you enjoy. So a good PR person will understand that. That, you know what, that's just the name of the game. And sometimes you get some controversies with people like the Redner Group and Duke Nukem Forever. Where it was like, if you write a negative review of Duke Nukem, you'll be blacklisted. Right. Or you get in the stupid shit like the Ocean Marketing thing from a couple years ago. And like I said, I mean, being a gamer, it's getting to be this really negative connotation right now. And some of it deservedly so. And some developers have been called out for it. And some developers are even starting to step up saying, you know what? You're right. Maybe we got to start changing how we produce our games. And that's great. Some good things are eventually going to come out of all this, I think. But there's a lot of people that, like, for example, people started sending death threats to this Anita woman. In what fucking universe is this okay? I mean, she has an opinion. Whether you like it or like it or whether you like it or don't like it is inconsequential. You don't send someone a death and a rape threat. And I don't know, man. I mean, I really think that says something about our society where we are so sick that we can just assume sending a death and a rape threat is fine, or har har, it's a joke or something like that. I mean, we are above this, guys. We really are. And I know it's been a rough time in the news in the last couple of weeks with all the stuff that's happening overseas, the ISIS stuff, the stuff in Ferguson. We're a savage species. We really are. But I like to think at least on the small stuff, maybe we can rise above it. And maybe that's where I stand in all this. I want to believe we are better than this. And I want to believe that things within our own little corner of the world can be fun again. Can be fun for everybody. And I guess my whole takeaway from Gamergate and all this stuff is this. Treat each other with respect based upon your sex, your sexual orientation, whatever. Everybody's the same. We are all made of the same star stuff at the end of the day. There's no difference between me, you, except maybe a couple hundred pounds, at least in my case. So be good to each other. And at the end of the day, it's video games, guys. Remember when this used to be fun? Remember when life was no more complicated than who got to play Mario and who got to play Luigi? I'm not saying it to oversimplify. I'm saying to put it in perspective. We can treat each other better, and we should be treating each other better. And we should be held to a different, we should be held to the same standards as other journalists. But we're a young industry, and we're growing. And there's going to be some growing pains along the way. So hopefully someone or something will happen that will help us lead up to that. And hopefully, like I said, something really good will come out of this. I've met a number of games journalists I really respect. because I know they have ethics, and if things aren't quite right, they won't pursue the story. So, that being said, guys, that's pretty much going to do it for this edition of the Nerd News Network. There's going to be a new prototype tomorrow. Me and Jamie are recording it on Disney Games, and then we go to the annual X event in Toronto to look at the Microsoft holiday preview. That should be a lot of fun. I'm actually really, really looking forward to that. Although Jamie will see more of the games than me, because there's a lot of stairs and my knees just can't do it. So anyway. Anyway, also, I'm going to be in Las Vegas on October 3rd. If you guys can tell me, what's there to do in Vegas? I would love to know, especially for nerdy stuff. Feedback at thisweekingeek.net, let me know. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard, and treat each other nice. We'll see you guys next time, right here on thisweekingeek.net.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face! And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f does that mean? That 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh god.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.